Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We obviously know we haven't had a rookie quarterback make a Super Bowl ever. We've had other guys get to championship games, though. 5 other guys. Okay, Sean King did it back in 1999.
Sean King.
That's right, he was a rookie. Wow. He only started 5 games that year, but yeah.
Still.
Ben Roethlisberger did it in 2004. In fact, he was undefeated going into that game, lost to the Patriots. Joe Flacco did it in 2008. My Mark Sanchez did it in 2009. And Brock Purdy did it in 2022. So those are the guys that have done it. If you look at the stats from all of those guys and you compare it to Jaden Daniels, it is not close. Yeah. Like Jaden Daniels in terms of impact on team, in terms of win-loss record, and in terms of just sheer stats like touchdown passes, it is not even on the same stratosphere as those other guys. So Ian Eagle said it to us on Tuesday, and I think it is certainly backed up by numbers. Jaden Daniels has pulled off the greatest rookie season by a quarterback ever.
Yeah, 69% completion percentage, too. He's only under 10 interceptions. Now, he only threw 25 touchdowns, as I'm saying, only. But, yeah. I mean, he rushed for a bunch. What do you have? 6 rushing touchdowns as well?
So, over 30 touchdowns
that he's
this
responsible
year.
For. And he almost rushed for 900 yards. So, I mean, the total yardage and the lack of mistakes is really what is surprising, because rookies tend to struggle with the new speed of the game and the complexity that you sometimes get defensively. Mm-hmm. And you just make mistakes.
Yep.
Not intentionally, just happen to be mistake prone. He was not at all.
He has the highest completion percentage of any of those other quarterbacks I mentioned that made a championship game. He's thrown for a lot more yards than any of those other guys and has thrown more touchdown passes. It's just not even close. So if Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders win on Sunday, first rookie to ever start a Super Bowl, and throw Dan Quinn in there. There's a handful of guys who have coached teams, different teams, to Super Bowls. Don Shula, Bill Parcells, Dick Vermeil, Mike Holmgren, Dan Reeves, John Fox, and Andy Reid. It's not a long list. And Dan Quinn, of all people, could join that list with a win on Sunday.
The Road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365 and is powered by Verizon.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. Yes, like it or not, Loogie, there is a number retirement ceremony this weekend in the New York City stadium area. The Barclays Center, where Vince Carter's number 15 will be retired, hung forever for all the great memories he made in Brooklyn tomorrow night.
In Brooklyn. He had a lot of memories in Brooklyn.
But with that, Evan, I did this with the David Wright getting announced, and a lot of people had anger about it, the greatest number fives in New York sports history. I'm here to give you the definitive list with every team double-checked three times.
Did you?
The great, don't test me, don't test me, the number 15s in New York sports history. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Number five is actually a three-way tie, guys. John McClain of the Devils, Tim Tebow for the Jets, and Tommy DeVito of the Giants.
A three-way tie? You put them all together?
Yeah, because the next four are indisputable, legendary. They have to be on their own. I couldn't pick one. It's McClain, it's Tebow, or DeVito. You have the pick. That's number five. Here we go.
Number four.
It is Vince Carter. His number will be retired in Brooklyn tomorrow. And for everybody who wants to say, he's really a Raptor, go look at how many years he spent with the Nets and how many years he spent with the Raptors. He is a Nets legend.
His reputation was kind of down in the dumps at the end of his Raptor time. He was always hurt. It wasn't sterling. He comes to New Jersey, and he was pretty much healthy. They had some success, not a lot of success, not as much as the earlier success. So I agree with you. When you look at games played and you look at sheer stats, I think it's pretty close to being equal between Toronto and the Nets. The problem I have with the Raptors is that the Nets announced they were retiring Vince Carter's number over the summer, and the Raptors quickly then put together their own retirement ceremony so they could do it before the Nets.
Didn't they like put his name on a plane or something?
On a plane?
Yeah, or
Air Canada? It would make sense. It was
like
his
that.
Nickname.
I can't remember what it was.
Wow.
It was like a Trump. To what the
They were competing with us for some reason. Yeah. Like it's almost as if they felt bad that the Nets were doing it first.
Yes.
That the Raptors were like, we're gonna do it bigger and better. We got you.
So stupid. All right, here we go.
Number three.
This one's for Evan. It's Carlos Beltran.
Yeah.
He's a future Hall of Famer, and honestly, probably should have his number retired since the Mets retire everybody's number now.
I loved Beltran. I liked Vince Carter. My opinion towards Vince Carter has grown more fonder after his retirement. I think I had my issues with him as a fan at the time, which I'll get into, I guess, at some other point. Or maybe now. I don't care if you guys care or not. But I would definitely put Beltran ahead of Vince Carter. I love both of them. Like both of them. Beltran ahead of Vince.
All right, here we go.
Number two.
Number two is the great Earl Monroe, who already has his number 15 retired by the Knicks. Him and Walt Clyde Frazier, the last pair of Knicks to start an All-Star game, now that we have Cat and Brunson doing that. Earl Monroe also, important note, if you listened earlier in the show, Lou Gower has no idea exists as a Knicks fan. So that's really good. He's number two.
Good right, call.
Here we go.
Number one.
It's obvious. It's the captain. It's Thurman Munson. And if you're somebody in my age, maybe a little older, and your dad was a Yankee fan and you grew up in a Yankee house, just a hunch, I'm going to assume that you were basically taught Thurman Munson was a god. And he was treated as such in your house. And I don't know how you have a list about number 15s and not have Thurman Munson right at the top. A guy I've literally never seen play, but feel like I knew personally because of how much he meant to my father. And that's your sinker.
That's all very sweet, and Thurman is clearly number one, but do you realize that the Knicks retired number 15 for two players, not just one? You know that, right?
Well, screwed that up, so give it to me.
Okay, Dick McGuire, the great Dick McGuire.
Oh, okay, all right.
He's a Hall of Famer, too. So.
All right, so maybe he gets in over Tebow and DeVito.
You think so? You think so?
A little bit.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. By the way, I'm so glad you did that. Forget about Vince Carter for a second. I'd like to spend a few minutes on Carsten Charles Sabathia. And I bring CC up because he's in very interesting territory right now. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer who's going in as a New York Yankee. Does that get your number retired? I mean, the Yankees have retired a lot of numbers in their history.
I didn't even think about that for CC.
Yes.
But it obviously should.
Well, I'm glad you said obviously. I did a little research project. I got a lot of time on my hands. I went through every single Yankee who's in the Hall of Fame with the Yankee logo on their hat. So, for example, Mike Mussina does not have the Yankee logo on his hat. He's not included in this discussion.
Okay.
And I wanted to see, like, is it an exact science that if you get your number, if you're a Hall of Famer as a Yankee, you get your number retired? Okay?
What would be the other criteria?
Well, Paul O'Neill was just a beloved Yankee. He's not a Hall of Famer. Number retired. Andy Pettit, not a Hall of Famer. Number retired. Don Mattingly, can I forget him? Yeah. Not a Hall of Famer, number retired. So the Yankees, Ron Guidry, not a Hall of Famer. So they've done that, and I'm not trying to argue those guys. They're very important in Yankee history, but they're not Hall of Famers.
Right.
Right? But you would think if you're a Hall of Famer, especially with the logo on your hat.
Yeah. To me, when you retire, when the Yankees retire somebody's number, it's they're being retired because they're a Yankee legend. And if you're a Hall of Famer as a Yankee, how does those two not cross-pollinate?
There are 10 guys who are Hall of Famers as Yankees who do not have their number retired.
Are you serious?
Now, there's caveats to a lot of them. Let me give you the information. Number one is Earl Combs, who played in the 1930s, and his number was one. It later got retired for a different player. So, number is retired. The other one is Lefty Gomez. This one I got a big issue with. Lefty Gomez was one of the best pitchers in baseball in the 30s and 40s, and he wore number 11. That's Brett Gardner's number! That's Anthony Volpe's number! They could have easily retired Lefty Gomez, but I do want to give you a caveat. His last year as a Yankee was 1942. He didn't get into the Hall of Fame until the 1970s. So by that point, it may have just been, we forgot about that. We ignored him. Joe Gordon is another Hall of Famer who has his number retired, but not for him. He wore number 6. So it got retired for Joe Torre a few years later. Wade Hoyt was a Hall of Famer, but the problem was he never wore numbers. He only wore a number for a year because that was well before they had, like, numbers.
Is that right?
That is true. And then the other guy is Red Ruffing. Red Ruffing was a great pitcher. He's a Hall of Famer. You know what number he wore? Sean, 15.
Wow.
Also retired by the Yankees for Thurman Munson. So the caveat is a lot of these guys, you almost throw them out because it's like, well, they ended up giving the number to somebody else. It ended up getting retired anyway. The only one relatively recent, because obviously I went deep into Yankee history. The only one recently is actually Goose Gossage. Goose Gossage wore number 54. But I guess because he played for so many other teams, and while he's a Hall of Famer and a tremendous player, he's not considered like legendary as a reliever. His number has not been retired. In fact, it's been handed out, last worn by Tim Hill.
There you go. Another legend. I'm going to assume all of those guys have plaques in Monument Park.
No, I don't think so. You know what? I got to double check that. Like, do they honor Earl Combs back there and Joe Gordon and Lefty Gomez? I'm not sure.
Let's be
honest. I think there were excuses for those guys. Like, it was a long time ago, and those numbers ended up getting retired by other players who wore it.
But the Yankees, I will defend them, obviously, and wave the pom-poms. They have so many layers to honoring people, whether it's the plaques, the monuments, the number retired. At some point, if you're a Hall of Famer with the Yankee logo, you got to have one of the three out there in Monument Park.
So CC's got to get his number retired based on this exercise, correct?
Well, I mean, Posada's number is retired.
That's another one. By the way, there's a lot of non-Hall of Famers. I went to a few of them, but you're right. Jorge adds to it.
I think CC... I was going through an exercise as you were just talking.
Yep.
Just looking at the all-time wars. Not that that matters, but that's how the Yankees list it. Or it's listed on the baseball reference. The all-time wars.
Right.
And all of them are retired except until you get to Red Ruffing.
Yeah.
Who you were just talking about.
The great Red Ruffing.
He has the eighth highest war in Yankee history.
Yeah, I think there's an oversight
and after
with
that,
history.
It goes to Bill Dickey and then Mariano, obviously.
And Bill Dickey also has his number retired, but it's like retired for him and for Yogi, which is kind of interesting. Those other guys I mentioned, they're not mentioned as it's retired for them.
Yeah.
It's retired for the other guy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're right. But then you get into dicey territory because Alex Rodriguez has one of the highest.
We know the deal with that.
So we know the deal. So it becomes interesting because CeCe's his career war is it's not going to be as high because he played on multiple teams.
Right.
So, but he's obviously an all-time great Yankee.
He helped
first ballot Hall of Famer who got 80% whatever it was.
Yeah.
On the first ballot and helped them win a World Series after not having won one for a while. I mean, I would say yes.
I think the answer.
Think about it until you brought it up.
I think the answer is clearly yes. Because I think what that exercise shows you is that the only oversights are ones from a long time ago for a variety of reasons. CC Sabathia, as a first ballot Hall of Famer who has openly already said, I think he said it to us last year and he confirmed it recently, I'm wearing a Yankee hat. Like that, I think, guarantees it. Messina would have been complicated if he picked the Yankees because they didn't win. And that's not his fault necessarily, but winning matters. Like, winning a championship is a big freaking deal around here. And the fact that CeCe was the unquestioned ace of a championship team, I think, makes it. Like, if they don't win the World Series that year, this may be a very different discussion. But they did. So it's right. pointless to even argue. And the other thing is, the Yankees haven't handed out the number to anybody.
No.
They handed out Paul O'Neill's number and Andy Pettit's number, and they got a lot of flack for it. CeCe's 52 has been kept away from everybody since he retired. So I think the answer is yes, right? You agree, Sean?
Not only do I agree, if you would have asked me as a Yankee fan, I assumed his number was retired and I forgot about it.
CeCe Sabathia?
Yeah. For some reason, I thought they had a CeCe day over the last 2 years. I guess they didn't.
Oh, God. Now you got to make me double check. Imagine after all that, his number's actually retired.
No, it's not because you would see it.
No, I
yeah, you would
it's
see
not.
It. I don't know why in my head I really thought his number was retired. Yeah, it's disgusting. It's not.
Yeah. Well, no. It's not disgusting yet. He just got in the Hall of Fame.
No, but it shouldn't have been.
Wasn't it obvious that he
yes.
was?
Yes. My point is, regardless of what just happened with that vote or not,
right?
CeCe Sabathia is a better Yankee all-time. Close your ears, Yankee fans, than Jorge Posada.
How quickly did they retire Jeter's number?
Jeter's different.
I understand that, but
I don't remember. It felt like it was almost instant. I know Mariano's was instant.
How quickly did they retire
Mariano? Oh, jeez. I'm not going to get into that.
No. Well,
some
they're
crazy accusations against him and his wife.
They're denying. So
they are denying. Okay. They are.
How quickly did they retire Joe Torre?
I don't remember. Probably not that long. Probably a couple of years.
Yeah, so why haven't they retired CeCe?
Nah, I think sometimes. Well, the Mets are just announcing David Wright's
okay,
retirement.
Okay, the Mets are completely different.
What does that mean?
You know exactly what that means.
I think it varies. Like, I remember Tom Seaver. I don't remember Tom Seaver. I was told Tom Seaver got his number retired in 1988. He retired after the 86 season.
Okay,
so, like, some guys are really quick, and other guys, it's like, oh, wait, like, think about Paul O'Neill. They gave his number out.
Yeah. Okay, but Posada. So when was Posada retired? Do you remember, Sean? Because he retired in 11.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I want to say 14, something like that. I think it was a couple of years.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember when they retired his number. I forget. A couple of years.
Right, so that's what I'm talking about.
They've done a lot of these. It's tough to forget when they actually do it. Jorge Posada Day, 2015. He retired after the 2012 season. So they waited 3 years with Jorge Posada.
Retire CeCe's number. Now it almost looks like if you do it now, it's because he made the hole. That's
yes,
silly about.
That's right.
No. By the way, I like that. I think that's a great criteria. See, here's my criteria for retired numbers. Even
so,
if
you're saying if they would have done it before, it would have been just. It wouldn't have made as much.
It would have been too early. Yeah. My criteria for retired numbers, and clearly the Yankees don't follow this, and the Mets don't follow this, is if you wear the team's cap and you're in the Hall of Fame, retired
yeah.
number.
Yeah.
And then the other criteria would be if you're a career member of that team, not quite a Hall of Famer, but you spent your whole career there. That's why I'm good with Don Mattingly and I'm good with David Wright. They're not Hall of Famers,
right.
but...
That's why Posada makes sense.
Yeah.
Right, because he was there for however 16 years?
Yeah, no, that's fine, too. So I think CeCe now getting into the Hall of Fame, yeah, have the ceremony this year as a way to honor him.
I think, unfortunately, sometimes the Yankees' criteria is wait to see if we think we have an 86-win team and look for when the Rockies or Nationals are coming.
In fairness, I don't think the Yankees have announced their promotional schedule, so it is entirely possible that we are going to get a CeCe Sabathia day this year.
It's definitely happening.
Number 52. Our NFL picks are coming up real soon. Plus, we'll squeeze in some more of your calls. Are the Kansas City Chiefs getting every call throughout the playoffs? He did this one again, and I think this is worse. He made a Cinco de 5-0 list. If you missed, you could rewind on the Odyssey app, honoring the greatest number 15s in New York sports history because the Nets are retiring Vince Carter's number. And before I tell you what it is, okay, before I break the news that you have shamed yourself on New York airwaves, there is a guy on hold who wants to talk about your list. I don't want to steal his thunder if he has it. So let me go to this guy, see if he's going to rip you for the biggest miss that maybe you've ever had on a Cinco de 5-0. And if not, I'll give you the answer. But let's see if Jimmy in Sayville has an issue with Sean Morash's Cinco list. How are you, Jimmy?
I'm doing good, Evan. How you doing?
I'm all right.
How could the Cinco de 5-0 list come out with the greatest number 15 and not include the immortal Jerry Grody?
Oh, that wasn't it. But thank you very much for the call. I love Jerry Grody. And Jerry would have been a very good addition. Of course, he was the catcher for the New York Mets in the late 60s and early 70s. And I love Jerry Grody. But that's not the mess up.
Okay.
The mess up is, what's your favorite football team?
Are you going to give me Jeff Hostetler?
Jeff Hostetler! They won the Super Bowl!
First of all, fake Sean.
They won the Super Bowl!
Fake Sean.
That's not fake Sean, that's Evan. Hi,
Evan.
Me.
Evan, he's a backup quarterback.
Yeah, Nick Foles has a statue in Philadelphia!
And Eagle fans are stupid. And I respect Jeff Hostetler. He's not Phil Simms, never
Sean,
will be.
Sean, you put Tim Tebow and Tommy Kevin. DeVito on
I
the
mean,
list.
Listen, to everybody in the audience, freezing their tuchus off on every road. If you think that I think Tim Tebow and Tommy DeVito are better all-time players than Jeff Hostetler, that was my way of having a little fun with the list. At
Sean,
number five.
Sean, there are three quarterbacks. Just three, okay?
He's not an all-time great player.
Sean.
So now Super Bowls do mean everything.
Sean,
okay.
There, Tiki, mm-hmm. giant legend. There are three quarterbacks that have ever started a Super Bowl and won it for the New York Football Giants.
Yes.
One is Phil Simms.
Of course.
We adore him. You hear him once a day on Boomer and Geo. Okay, we love him. All right. The second guy is Eli Manning. You obviously played mm-hmm. with him. The third is Jeff Hostetler. He wore number 15.
I'm aware what
you're
number
a Giant fan. Right. And you didn't put him on the list of greatest 15.
No. If I did that, I would have been laughed out of the room. He's a fun backup quarterback that basically is a Raider after that. I'm sorry. I'm great, grateful. Great. He won a Super Bowl. Maybe I'd appreciate him a little more if I wasn't 4 years old. I get all that. Obviously, I don't think, could he be included? I'm trying to get a rise at with the Tebow DeVito thing. He still is not better than Jerry Grody or Dick McGuire or any of those guys. Don't come at me and tell me this is that egregious. Just get lost. Sorry, not taking the L.
Yeah, I kind of agree with him.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So Tiki agrees with Sean.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
How many games did he start as a New York Giant?
Not many. Like 10 maybe or something? Maybe less than that?
You know what? Let's do the great... Let's do the greatest 21s of all time. I'll put Kenny Phillips on there instead of Tiki because he won a Super Bowl. What are you talking about?
He started it as quarterback, bro. Come on, don't make that comparison.
Oh, so now it's quarterback. I don't know, Evan. You've been telling me it's all about the team, not the quarterback.
Sean, they built a statue for Nick Foles in Philadelphia.
Why do you keep going? Who cares that they're idiots? They built a statue for a fake boxer that lives up there like it's a hero. Because I got a Foles statue? I got to bend the knee with Hostetler?
All right, can you, Tiki's obviously against me. Sean is against me. Fake Sean, are you at least with me that this was egregious mistake by your real counterpart?
I think there's even a bigger mistake. Golden Tate wore number 15 for the Giants. And Eagle fans, speaking of Golden, the Golden rule is this. You can't win a Super Bowl with a great running back. And you're going to find that out. And I would say this. The real Sean is Saquon Barkley. And the fake Sean is Tyrone Tracy. Because I would argue that fake Sean is a better personality than the real Sean.
I'm glad that Evan has
Saquon Barkley.
Did you know that though, real Sean? That
yeah,
Golden
I did.
Tate wore 15?
I'm so glad that Evan has a new personal jukebox.
Exactly.
Every time he wants to feed a dollar into the touch tunes that is Tommy Lugauer, he's got this.
Do you think when you're back in the studio Monday, fake Sean dies, or do you think this continues, especially with you sitting a few feet away from him?
Do I think fake Sean dies?
Yeah.
I know he dies because he gets punched delivered right between his eyes and his nose, if I got to hear it right.
Nice. All right, we'll schedule that for 4:15 on Monday, just so it can be on television.
Sean Marash is going to make me his board op for his entire life.
Well, that's negative, Tommy.
That makes me laugh, too. Let's go to Tom in New Jersey. How are you, Tom?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? The best 15 ever is Thurman Munson, hands down.
Nah, he got that one right. The number one, I would never argue. The captain, Thurman Munson, of course.
All right, let me tell you about Kansas City. I was just out there. Me and my son drove 17 hours out there for the Baltimore-Kansas City game.
Wow. Oh,
I was talking about you and Joe driving to Indianapolis on the way. I said to my son, I remember Evan and Joe drove to Indianapolis for that.
Yep, we did.
But they're so spoiled out there. They started complaining about the refs in the fourth quarter. Me and my son turned around. We're not a fan of either team. We go to a different cold weather game every year. This is our fourth year going.
That's impressive.
But
where are you going?
Yeah,
this year?
The nicest people. We went to Kansas City.
Baltimore. You already went. You already did it. I got it.
Yeah, we just got back. So last year went to Baltimore, Houston. Year before Buffalo, Cincy, and year before that Green Bay.
So you only pick cold weather. Do you wait until this time of year to make sure it's actually cold there?
Well, yeah, no, we just pick the East Coast teams. Denver we won't drive. Everywhere right. else, we wait till it's a guaranteed second round.
How about
and then
Tom, that is freaking awesome.
That's actually a cool trip.
I know your point was about Kansas City fans complaining about the officials, but Tiki and I are more enamored by the fact that you made that trip, and that's an awesome trip.
But it's also random. It's not like, oh, my team is playing, so I'm going to XYZ. It's
right.
Like, let's go somewhere cold weather and enjoy the football and that in a playoff environment.
Yeah, so
cool, actually.
Think about all the phrases you just used. Enjoy the football. Playoffs, cold weather. Yeah. Like
they don't have the option for his own team.
Right. If you're a Jet and Giant fan, you rarely get that opportunity and that option.
Right.
That's awesome. I tell you, I'm a big driving guy. I love to drive. The furthest I've ever driven is probably me and my wife drove to New Orleans. So that's pretty good. It's a pretty good drive. And then came back. And we didn't go direct, so we drove to different places. I also once drove to St. Louis. Kansas City. And then what's the cutoff? Like, to me, that trip I made to New Orleans was probably, I don't know how much further I could go.
Well, St. Louis is not that much farther, is it?
Then which one? The New Orleans?
No, then Kansas City.
No, Kansas City's a little bit further. Not by much.
Right,
it's a little bit further out west. Little bit, but it's not great. Like, once you do St. Louis, doing Kansas City is not that big of a deal. He's right, though, because, the next big city after that's Denver, and now you're tacking on 11 more hours. What's your cutoff for the amount of driving you would do to go to a city?
The longest I've ever done is... It was Tampa, but I was a kid. I mean, I was not a kid, but I was young. I was 24 years old or something. And I drove from Virginia to Tampa.
And how long?
It was 11 and a half hours.
Oh, that's something.
So, It wasn't egregiously long. It wasn't we got to think about where we're sleeping type of thing. That's if it's ever that long, I'm not doing it.
So, right now, if you drove to New Orleans, which is where the Super Bowl is, so we could actually do it. Right now, if we left work and drove to New Orleans, it would take 19 hours and 16 minutes.
No, thank you.
But that's, I think, my cutoff. Unless I have like a week to do it and you could really split out your time. By the way, real quick, we have an update on the Jets GM search. This from Connor Hughes. Connor says, Woody and Christopher Johnson have been meeting behind closed doors away from any and all chatter to come to a decision on who to name as their next general manager. They are focused on finding the, quote, best guy for the job. I've talked to sources tied to three men, Lance Newmark, Trey Brown, and Darren Mooji, and have received second interviews. None have been told whether or not they have gotten the job or not as of this minute. Hmm. This does not mean what Josina Anderson reported is inaccurate.
Moogie!
She said Moogie would be the guy, but none of my sources have been able to tell me what direction it's headed. It might well very be Mooji, as Josina said, but with no formal decision announced to the candidates and my Jet sources extremely tight-lipped on direction ownership is leaning, I cannot confirm or deny. So that's according to the great Connor Hughes, who's done some fine reporting on this. Oh, by the way, one other thing. I got to say this because I got this DM and it was a really good thought from this guy.
By the way, good reporting by Connor Hughes.
Great reporting by Connor
Hughes. Not just regurgitating something he saw on media, social media.
That's right. I got a DM from a guy who brought up a very good point, theory about Pete Carroll, why he didn't want to work for Woody Johnson.
Okay.
That, and this could happen, that Pete Carroll disagrees with Woody's politics and doesn't want to work for him.
I mean, at 74, you're at that, and you don't need to have this job. You're head coach in the NFL for a long time, made a ton of money. Your success/legacy is already kind of written. Maybe
yes.
You can extend it by bringing some success to the Raiders. I get that. Why deal with someone you think you're not going to like?
Right. Right. And apparently, I didn't even really follow this, but I guess Pete Carroll has been very outspoken about his opinions on the president. And that president is like very close to Woody Johnson. He gave him a job. So it could very well be.
Yeah, I do remember that, actually. The first term. Trump term.
So it could very well be, and it actually makes a lot of sense, that the reason Pete Carroll didn't want to come here is not because he hates our organization, but he doesn't want to work with somebody he disagrees with.
Mm.
Which, by the way, I wouldn't care. I would just work for you, even if I did. I'd actually yell at you. We just argue all the time.
Exactly.
That's what would happen.
I'd actually be kind of fun.
Yeah, it'd be fun. You know, and then we'd go out for beer, and I'd say you're an idiot or something like that.
It's just politics.
It's just politics, baby. Now, there was a time in my life I would say this is the last real Football Friday of the year, but that's not true. The Super Bowl is a game. There's a lot of pomp and circumstance. There's a lot of other stuff, the commercials and all that, but it's still a football game. So I've learned with age that I shouldn't look at today and look at Sunday as the last real football Sunday. But we will present to you our football picks. They're brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the NFL, and the New York Giants. Bud Light, easy to Sunday, easy to enjoy, by ELEC A25, Building Our Future, and by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit samwellpain.com. Last week, I went 1-2-3-1. Not too bad. The game I got wrong, the Lion game. Tommy Lugauer went 2-2. He got the Lion game and the Raven game wrong. Tiki took an 0-4. He went 0-4.
Perfect.
Not that it matters anymore. He's already paid his penalty by selling the Jalen Brunson Tommy Lugauer t-shirt out of Nick Game.
As an aside, I love that I lost. Because that was actually quite fun.
I mean, you were 1-9. Like, it's amazing what you're doing. I give you a lot of credit. And then Sean Morash also had a crappy week, except unlike Tiki, he wants to be good at this. He just isn't.
Great.
He was 1-3. The game we all got wrong was the Detroit-Washington game, like to a T. I think basically America did. So we certainly take our L's. Now, as a champion, I'm taking on another champion, Sal Licata of the Midday Show. I gained a game on him last week.
Did you already have two already?
What was that?
Didn't you already have two games on him?
No, we were even. We both had the same record for wild card weekend. We were both, I think, 2-2, if I'm not mistaken, or 4-2.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
We were both 4-2. And for this weekend, I went 3-1, and he went 2-2. The game he got wrong that I got right was the Ram-Eagle game. Mm. I took the Rams getting the 6.5. He took the Eagles. So I'm one game ahead of Sal. I'm not even sure what he picked.
Represent, Ev.
Represent, baby! So let's make our picks for Championship Sunday. And let's start it off with Fake Sean. No, I'm just kidding. Tommy Lugauer, whatever he likes to do with that, the floor is yours. Oh, by the way, let me give everybody our records just so we have it. For the playoffs, me and Tommy are both 7-3. Sean is 5-5. And Tiki is 1-9. If we include the regular season, I'm two games ahead of Tommy. And then you got Sean at 39-58.
Oh, Tommy, this is your chance.
This is your chance, bro.
Make it up at the playoffs.
And Tiki is 33-64. Doogie, take it away.
All right, game number one, the NFC Championship game. 6.5 points. I think the Eagles will win this game, but I believe the Washington Commanders, a team that has alligator blood, a team that has a great young quarterback, and a team that's never really added games, I think they will keep this close. I think they will stay within the number. And even if they don't throughout the game, I think you have a chance for a backdoor cover here. Washington playing with, this is where I disagree with Evan, I think they are playing with house money just because nobody expected them to get to this point. So they'll play loose throughout the game. I don't think they'll ever let go of the rope. So I think the Eagles win. Unfortunately, they go to the Super Bowl and Washington covers the number at +6.5. Fake. Sean, do you agree with that?
Daniels! Tommy DeVito screwed us! Out of Jaden Daniels! Also, Lugo and a bunch of Italians can eat gabagool in the MetLife parking lot!
I guess he does agree with me. So, Fake Sean also has the Commanders getting 6.5. All right, game number two.
You're right.
I said it before the season. I'm just trying to be dramatic. I said it before the season started that the Chiefs would go back to the Super Bowl. This is what I found fascinating. Within seconds of the Super Bowl last year ending, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, they were bringing up the word three-peat. I think this has been their mission from the start. They're focused, and I believe they will three-peat, and they will win this game against the Buffalo Bills. So I'm going to take the Chiefs to go back to the Super Bowl. Chiefs, Eagles in the Super Bowl. Fake Sean, do you agree?
Did you know that Joe Shane? Did you know that Joe Shane was roommates in college with Andy Reid? And it was, in fact, this is Giant fans, if you're listening. Giant fans, if you're listening. He taught Andy Reid, Joe Shane taught Andy Reid everything he knows. And then he taught Brian Daboll everything that Andy Reid and Joe Shane knows. So Brian Daboll and Joe Shane know everything that the Chiefs know. So at this point next year, the Giants will be back in the Super Bowl.
I think he agrees with me as well. So both Fake Sean and I have the Chiefs, and we have the Commanders.
Right, on that note, here's real Sean.
That was fun. All right, game number one. You know, they say in life, never stop fighting. I'm stopping the fight. I can't fight it anymore. The Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. And it's not even going to be a fun, close, make me sweat like the Rams situation. There's a reason no rookie quarterback makes the Super Bowl in his rookie year. And the last time these teams faced, it took Jalen Hurts getting hurt and Kenny Pickett coming into the game for the Commanders to have that win on December 22nd. It's 6.5. The world is tickling themselves with Jaden Daniels fever. I think the Eagles kicked the crap out of the Commanders on Sunday. I think Saquon rushes, I'm not kidding, for about 175 yards, another 2 touchdowns. And unfortunately, we hear that stupid fly, Eagles fly song all afternoon. Eagles cover easy. Pick number two, Evan. I have said this, and I have waited for this since August. Ooh. I have waited to gamble on something since August. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that is? Bill's death. Okay? Everybody wants to find that year and find that season where this doesn't happen for the Chiefs. It's happening. And I don't think this is going to be close either. I think we get two of the most unappealing 10 or more point blowout championship games. And I think the Bills are left in a blender. Wow. As Kansas City shocks them, winning a game by 14 to 17 points, to the point nobody could cry about the refs. It's Eagles, it's Chiefs, the nightmare of 2 years ago is back, and I think it's not a fun championship Sunday. Give me both favorites covering.
Tiki Barber!
I like the Commanders. We talked about this earlier. Team that I want to see in the Super Bowl, and I do think they find a way against the Philadelphia Eagles, mainly because they never punt. They go for it on fourth down and have a high success rate. And Jaden Daniels, I want to see him make some history. For the Kansas City Chiefs, it's kind of a pick 'em. It's weird unless this comes down to a two-point conversion. And so I can't not look at the home field advantage and give them the edge. Not for any reason, but Travis Kelce, after being washed in a lot of our minds for a lot of the regular season, always finds a way to just be on in the postseason. And we saw it last week. I think we see it again. Give me the Kansas City Chiefs laying the 1.5.
All right, game number one. I think, you know, none of us picked the Commanders last week. None of us. To a T, we all picked the Lions, laying the big number, and we were all wrong. And I noticed here, Loogie picked the Commanders. Tiki picked the Commanders. Sean, I think, actually thinks the Commanders are going to win. But I understand the negativity with the Eagles just beating in. I think the Commanders earned our respect, but I'm very nervous about this. I'm very nervous about history. History matters. And we went through this earlier in the hour. We've never seen a rookie quarterback get to a Super Bowl. We've seen guys get close.
Doesn't he feel different, though?
He does. He does feel different. But the history still keeps rattling in my head. But if anybody's going to break it, it's going to be Jaden Daniels. The other thing that kind of rattles in my head is actually one of our coworkers, Sal Licata. I remember the first time him and BT ever got into a fight. You guys know it wasn't even on the Midday Show? You know them?
No.
They got into a little bit of a fight while you were doing the show with Brandon and Sal was doing overnights. Because BT said something that so deeply offended Sal Licata. And you know what that was?
No, I don't. I don't remember.
Brandon had the gall, he was right, by the way, to say, Dan Quinn's a pretty good coach. Maybe the Giants should hire him. And Sal lost his mind. I don't have a good Sal imitation, but basically it was, he stinks, he blew a Super Bowl. Yeah, he went nuts. He got very upset.
Right. Go back and watch that game again and think about Kyle Shanahan and as much as I love the guy, Matt Ryan.
Yes. It wasn't just Dan Quinn.
Yes.
And all I heard from Dan Quinn stinks. Dan Quinn has a chance to also write history. And I think the combination of Quinn, of Daniels, and also something's off about the Eagles. I've had a tough time putting my finger on it. Like, they keep winning. They're in the NFC title game. But there's something off about them. So I'm all in. I'm on the Al Cintron train. Give me the Commanders.
Wow.
Getting the 6.5 in Philadelphia against the Eagles. Game number 2, the AFC Championship game. I looked this up last night. In my long history of making picks, this is a streak I'm so proud of. I have picked the Kansas City Chiefs in every postseason game going all the way back to 2019. Can you believe that?
That's amazing.
Every one of them. 2021, the entire time I've been on the Chiefs Mahomes train, even last year when people disrespected them. So there's nobody who believes in Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs as much as me. But all things must come to an end.
No.
And so I want to make this very, very clear. I hope I'm wrong. I want to be wrong more than anything sports-wise this weekend. Not only are the Buffalo Bills clearing the 1.5, not only are the Buffalo Bills winning outright, I think the Buffalo Bills are going to demolish the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. I think it's going to be a blowout. I think, to use a phrase I've once used, I think they're going to take their soul. I think this is going to be everything you've waited for with Kansas City. They're not that good. They've only scored 30 more than one time this year. I think it is going to end in a way in which officials get
this is
going
to be
a Patrick Mahomes hellscape like we've never seen before. People will leave early at Arrowhead Stadium. And I don't want to be right. I think the Buffalo Bills are going to demolish the Kansas City Chiefs. Sometimes big things end with a thud. Like, not to bring up the Yankee collapse of 2004, but Game 7 was a blowout. It was just like, this thing's over.
Right.
I think this AFC title game is going to be a blowout. And again, I hope I'm wrong. Give me the Buffalo Bills. Not only getting the 1.5, write this one down. They blow out the Kansas City Chiefs to get to their first Super Bowl since the 4-in-a-row era. Give me the Commanders. Give me the Bills. I'm taking the two dogs on Championship Sunday. Why? Did I disappoint you, Sean?
I just, you know, it's one thing to beat Tommy, me, and Tiki. You are representing our show versus Sal, and you just put it all on the line not picking the Chiefs?
Well, I've got good news.
I feel like you've let the show down.
I've got good news for you. I have been informed Sal's two picks. We have one pick head-to-head, and we have one pick together. The pick that we're together on is the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, so that's why you did this. Okay.
No. Tommy will tell you the truth. Tommy's been listening to me all week. He said this yesterday. He says, I see this coming from Evan. So it has nothing to do with Sal's picks. Go ahead, okay. Tommy. I know you're going to back me up on this.
I'm absolutely going to back you up on it. You've been saying it off air that you were pretty much on the Bills the entire week.
as a person like me that has the Chiefs' future here, I'm going to bet the Bills' money line now because you just can't miss.
I've been
you
hot.
Just, like, not only with the Chiefs, in general.
Look, I have a bad feeling. And I say bad feeling because I am genuinely rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I've made my opinions clear on Sean McDermott. I don't have to say it a million times. I want the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
I think it's a more entertaining Super Bowl. I want to see them chase history. I have a feeling of misery Sunday night.
Well, the reality is the Bills are the better team.
Yeah.
That's what you're feeling.
Yes. Yeah, I think they are.
Now, the quarterback is, that's a different conversation. Pat Mahomes is still the better quarterback, but, well, I mean, he in most games he is, but the Bills have the better team, top to bottom.
Yeah. I really hope I'm wrong.
And the one thing that the Bills are, I mean, I've struggled with this year, has been some things in the back end, in the secondary, but is Hollywood Brown going to take advantage of that? Is, I guess Xavier Worthy could as a rookie, but the threat really isn't there.
Well, also the Chiefs have won games with a very fine line, very fine line. And I think sometimes when you do that, it ends, it blows up. It doesn't just, it ends in like a horrific way where things go really, really bad. And I can see it happening on Sunday night. And like I said, I hope I'm wrong. I want to be in here saying, boy, I got that one wrong. I want to be right about the Commanders. That one, I'm, you know, rooting interest in everything, but I got a sick feeling. And then you guys all picked the Chiefs, too, which also scares me.
I got to be honest with you, I just don't think the history of the Buffalo Bills, everybody forgets, they traded the pick to the Chiefs.
I get you.
Chiefs used to Patrick Mahomes. I don't think you ever recover from that.
Yeah, but Sean,
head-to-head.
Here's the difference, and I said this the other day. I'll repeat it to you again for all the Bill fans out there. You will win Sunday. You will lose the Super Bowl. You will go 0-5. This doesn't end like this.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I got losers lose. But they don't always lose in the exact same spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's fair.
And I can't believe I'm about to say this, but it's true. The better quarterback this season plays on the Bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Mahomes is great, and we know he can beat, obviously he's beaten Allen every single time in the playoffs, but the better quarterback this year was Allen.
Yeah. So we shall see. Everyone's taking Kansas City. I'm taking Buffalo. Everybody's taking Washington, and Sean is taking Philadelphia. So those are our picks for Championship Sunday. Both games you can hear right here on WFAN.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.